a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Astros in it. It was back in 2016.
Ground ball softly to second. Keith will charge. Field and flip. Tigers win. They're moving on. They pour out of the dugout and mob each other behind the pitcher's mound. What a moment in Houston.
The Motel magic continues. The Tigers sweep the Astros 5-2, and they will move to the American League Division Series.
I want to vomit hearing Michael Kay's voice say that. I wanted to come into today's show pretending, wait, game three is later this afternoon. Can't even do that. Michael Kay ruined it. We should have seen this coming. Clearly, I was very arrogant and cocky going into this series. But yesterday, Joe, we saw a lot of the same issues that have been plaguing the Astros all year. Bite them in the ass. Season's over.
It's sad. It's sad that this is such a quick run. I mean, it's one thing to lose if it was, you know, in the ALCS like it was last year. But the fact that you don't even get to really compete in a real series because your offense is just totally and utterly incompetent, and the back end of your bullpen, which is supposed to be electric, is the opposite. It's frustrating because we spent so much time. The minute Hader was signed, it was just get to the sixth inning. And really, Brian Abreu did his job. He's done his job all year long where you don't even have to get to the sixth. He can come in like he did yesterday. He can get one out, and then he can come back out and be excellent in the next inning. It's the next two guys that Presley is awful at this point and unreliable, and Hader is unusable in a non-safe situation.
He wasn't worth what he was paid this year. What are we talking? $20 million, $19 million, $18 million. He wasn't worth it this year. I understand that he was good in the regular season, but you're paid for this. He pitched yesterday. Walk, four pitches, first batter he faces. Then he allows that double, which I'm sure we'll hear at some point during the show. As you said, we saw this with Presley, who was called by many Ryan Stresley, multiple moments this season. And the offense, you scored runs on these three plays. Ninth inning on a weak ground ball that barely got into right field. A fielder's choice where a ball could have been thrown to home plate for a force out. And on a sacrifice foul out that was basically right by first base. That is your offense for the playoffs of 2024.
It's just not good enough. And it's the same guys that are the same problem like it's been all year. And not just this year, in the postseason. We talked a lot about Kyle Tucker yesterday. Kyle Tucker in the playoffs is just it's an embarrassment. I mean, what the fact that he could have blown the game open and, what, didn't get the ball out of the infield?
Double play.
It's without Jeremy Pena's speed, like, you're not even, you don't even get the lead. In yesterday's game. And then it just, I don't quite understand why. Like, that's what's so hard about what's the most frustrating about the Astros is that it just doesn't really make, I would say, like logical sense. You look at the lineup, you look at the top, like, 1 through 5, you say, okay, this should be a absolutely deadly lineup. And if you just get any contribution, 6 through 9, you are going to roll over teams. And just, they've now lost 7 straight postseason home games. It's
that is staggering.
Yeah. I mean, it's just how this team has become so inept. And look, I think what part of it is, Paul, honestly, is that they've got the offense has gotten to pass a little bit. If you look back to 2022, even though they won the World Series, there was a lot of times that year where the offense wasn't great. I mean, you have the most dominant bullpen in the history of the playoffs. And then the offense is not blowing people out of the water throughout the season. You saw the signs of struggle start to kind of be there in that year. And then last year, they gave us the batter's eye excuse, where it was, well, this is what's going on at home. This is why they're so bad at home versus so good on the road. and all these things. And then this year, those problems just continued again. And it really is the fundamental issue with this baseball team going forward, is that the guys who you need to rely on most are hitting a lot of singles or hitting nothing at all.
It's unfair to expect them to score 6 runs a game. But 3 runs in 2 games, Tarik Skubal only pitched 6 of the 18 innings against the that you played against the Tigers. So what's your excuse for the other 12? What's Kyle Tucker's excuse? And I understand that some would say, well, he might not be 100%. That was definitely not a bone bruise. But he wasn't good enough. None of this team was good enough. And ultimately, we all saw this coming. I know that we were cocky, and I know that I was playing into that bit of the cocky Astros fan, which some Astros fans take issue with, to the point where they want to fight me in mutual combat. More on that later. But I just feel like they're going to be kicking themselves over this. This American League was wide open. There was not one dominant team. Orioles done yet again. So the Royals, Guardians, and Yankees, who you own, that's what's left. You blew this opportunity, and you did it by... I'm not a baseball guy. I'm not a baseball expert. Even I could tell their approach at the plate was crap. And this is what started to ruin baseball in the early 2000s. You had Red Sox-Yankees games that were lasting 4 hours. But you know why they were lasting so long? Because every single one of those batters on those two teams were working at bats. And I don't know why the Astros all of a sudden got to this point where we're going to swing at everything. We're not going to work counts. We're just going to swing, 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 swing. Well, you're swinging, and you're not even hitting well. So how are you giving yourself any opportunity to score here?
You're right. They've totally gone away from what worked so well for them from 2017 through 2021. And I know a lot of the faces are different. We saw Yiner this year make a lot of improvements from year one to year two in working counts. But it's I get Altuve's approach. I get why he does it. But maybe it should change. Maybe something needs to change about the way that they were approaching, honestly, everything. Like, that's one of the, if you're going to try to look at this from a glass half full, is that the questions you have about this organization, about spending money, about getting free agents, about being more aggressive in the offseason, in my mind, if I was Jim Crane and I was having to sit there in my own stadium, waiting for AJ Hinch to finish taking pictures so I could shake his hand and congratulate him, it would change my perspective about how I'm approaching this team. Now, look, they have one of the, 6 highest payrolls in baseball. So it's not that they don't spend money.
It's top 4.
But to fix some of these problems, the only solution is going to be money. And if you want to just totally retool and totally dive back in, pour a ton of money into it and try to fix it that way. Like, money can fix some of these problems. And some of these problems are going to be coaching problems. Like, if your approach is this poor, and it has been, someone has to be held accountable. And if it can't be the players, then you should be looking at a guy like Alex Cintron and say, this lineup, it totally got away from them, what their identity was. You didn't fix it. Whether they don't listen to you, whether you're a poor coach, whether they don't listen to Joe Espada. Like their approach changed so much and got so much worse as the season went on. And even when they needed to change it the most, they didn't even waver of trying to take more pitches or trying to be more patient, because it was just embroiled in their DNA at that point. Like, someone has to be held accountable for something like that. And then they had to figure out how to solve it and what those solutions are.
I don't know if this is going to change Crane's approach. They already spent all the money. I don't know how they're going to spend any more. I would be very surprised if they spend more. And you got a lot of questions this offseason about Alex Bregman first and foremost, but also Yusei Kikuchi, Justin Verlander, Ryan Presley. They're probably out the door, as is Jose Urquidy, at least you would think. But I don't know that this is something where Jim Crane can really change anything. I don't see how there's anything he can do here. I don't.
He'd have to be willing to do something he's never done before. Which is, when he gives $32 million to Framber Valdez and Kyle Tucker in arbitration, that that doesn't dissuade him from bringing back Alex Bregman. That he has to go out and replace someone, you know, that makes maybe not $30 million a year to play first base, but someone, you know, makes a good chunk of change.
Is Bregman coming back going to get them further than they were, or is it just going to get them back to where they got to?
That's a good question. It probably just gets them back to where they've gotten.
I think it just gets you back here. I think that there's a lot of things that you need to upgrade at. You need to upgrade at first base. They talked about it at today's press conference, but how are you going to do that without money, especially if you're giving some of this money to a couple of guys in arbitration? I mean, there's a lot of money on the books, and you hear all the things you want to hear from politician Dana Brown today at the press conference talking about how they don't plan on standing pat. Cool. Great to hear that. I don't believe you. I don't think anyone should believe you. The payroll for this team is strikingly high. And, I mean, look, you still have another year of Jose Abreu and Rafael Montero counting towards the luxury tax. That's $30 million. Bye-bye. Yeah. So I don't know what Jim Crane can do really here. And I do get the feeling that Bregman's gone. So there's a part of me which saw hints all along this year and had in the back of my mind, I can see how this thing ends, is now wondering whether or not this entire run's done.
I think the question is it done or is it on pause? Because like those, like there's a couple different ways like they can approach this. They can either just, you know, Bregman leaves and they replace him with a rookie and they bring back everyone else that they can and they add some guys in free agency where maybe they upgrade a couple positions, but they're not major upgrades, and they just try to be competitive. And then into 2025 or 2026 and beyond, when you have more money to spend, you spend that money. You can tear things down a little bit without fully tearing them down, like not going into a rebuild. But you can – there are guys – you know, they said it multiple times today. Now we've heard – and this is – I'm with you, Paul. Like we've heard Jeff Luno say this. We've heard even when things have gone well. We've heard Dana Brown say this. James Click say this. We've heard every GM in the city ever or anywhere say this. Anything's on the table. Everyone always says anything's on the table. But what are you going to do with it? Because the worst thing they can do is kind of keep status quo. And I think that's my biggest fear with the Astros is that because of where they're at money-wise, because of some of their past commitments that have blown up in their face, that they're kind of just going to stay status quo and hope that they can win a poor division again next year and have better luck in the playoffs.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean's behind the glass. You want to chime in on the end of the Astros season, you can. Up first at 713-780-3776 to call to text. We've got Derek. Derek, what's up?
Hey, guys. If a person hadn't played baseball past high school and then look back over the Astros' success and the ebbs and flows and Bregman's and everything. Even Bregman made a video, a social media post when he got out of his car and did what he did. Guys, I know we're looking at problems, but this is not football or the Harlem Globetrotters. Those guys have been playing baseball since they're 3 years old. First off, it's not the coach. The coach cannot swing it. The coach can't tell them when to approach. The approach that got you the $40 million, the approach that made you the fourth highest payroll with all those players, those guys' approaches have been great. Sometimes, I mean, we as Spar fans, but sometimes, and I know we're going to go and try to overrule it and think even higher, but if you haven't played the game, but the T-ball, then you're going to come up with stuff like that. But sometimes the
Derek,
better
for
teams
two,
win.
Derek, for 2 months, they were the worst offense in baseball.
Down.
Derek, for two
calm
months,
down.
They were the worst offense in baseball. What are you watching? No one cares
sir,
about playing
sir,
T-ball.
Sir.
It doesn't matter. No, sir. Hold on. I get to talk to
you.
Because here's the thing.
I thought
like,
we were customers, man.
Like,
oh, my goodness.
They were been awful this year.
I'm not yelling.
They've been awful this year.
I don't disagree. Listen. I'm not yelling at you.
No,
sir.
You're disrespecting
I just
us.
Give my opinion.
Derek, you're bringing
I'm
up the T-ball thing. It's so irrelevant.
No,
bye. We're done.
I didn't say.
Sean, can you cut him off?
Like, seriously, like, it's. I do not care. Like,
the
we do not play baseball.
In Houston.
There is, seriously, find someone in this city that played professional baseball. They don't exist. Find someone that played professional baseball. It's not on SiriusXM. They do not exist. It is so, so stupid to bring up T-ball and all that stuff. They have been trash on offense for a majority of this season. Okay? In any other sport, we fire the coaches when the team fails. You fire Steven Silas. You fired Lovie Smith. You fired Bill O'Brien. But it's a baseball coach, and we don't know what we're talking about because it's T-ball. Shut up. Seriously. It's so stupid. It's so stupid. They failed this year because their approach sucked. Jesus. People get so offended when this team deserves to be bashed on for their piss-poor performance. It's unreal.
Nice rant. I was feeling that inwardly. I constantly feel that when that guy calls in under 75 different aliases. Bringing up T-ball in high school, get to the point, is more my question always with Derek, because he never does. If you're pointing at somebody and you're saying, hey, this approach has always worked, well, since you gave Rafael Montero and Jose Abreu those ridiculous contracts, it hasn't worked. You haven't won the World Series since those two contracts were signed. It has held you back in terms of things that you are able to do. And to your point, I agree from this perspective. You do have to look inwardly because it can't just be a matter of, oh, okay, well, we get back to next year. But I think, interestingly, Joe, I think the way that the new playoffs are set up, it kind of enables Jim Crane to sit on his hands a bit because, hey, as I said earlier, okay, does bringing Alex Bregman back, does it get you further or does it just keep you where you are? Well, I would imagine that, okay, if Jim Crane does pull the trigger, he's content getting back to where you are because supposedly you make these playoffs, you're a wild card team, take a look at last year where you had the Rangers and Diamondbacks make it to the World Series, you just need to get in.
And it's just a different, and like, we hold them to a different standard for a reason. This is not the Seattle Mariners who say they play for, what is it, 52%? Jim Crane is the one that told us, as long as I own this team, the window never closes. Well, it closed on your face this year in a really sad way. As Robert Ford, I'll give him credit, when they went to the ninth inning last night, because I left because I wasn't wasting my time talking to the media and talking to those guys, it sounded like a church. That's what it was. It was a church inside Minute Maid Park last night. I mean, it was not as much praying. It was sad.
Not as evangelizing either. But guys, it's over. You want events as well, 713-780-3776 to call to text. I'm sure Derek will call back a little bit later under a different alias because that's his move. Gary, what are the other names that he's called in by?
I used to just know him as Gary.
I credit him for listening, but like, hey, get to the effing point. And T-ball in high school.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what the offense was for the Astros last night.
If they hit it off a tee, they'd actually make contact.
I mean, your three RBIs came on a roller that barely made it out of the infield. It came on a fielder's choice, which should have been a force out at home. And it came on a foul fly ball where Jeremy Pena is very lucky he didn't get tagged out. I mean,
he looked real fast.
The two runs you scored yesterday, you were very fortunate to score them. It was fun when they scored them, but good God. Connor has a thought on the Astros, 713-780-3776.
Yo, what's up, guys? My name's actually Thomas. I don't know how they got messed up. But I was going to say to that guy's point, what he's talking about, the idiot that called in, you know who played professional baseball? Bagwell. And you know who's made the worst decisions for the Astros and has put us in this situation? Bagwell. So that argument's moot already off the bat. We suck. You know what I mean? And there ain't no amount of T-ball or high school baseball that's going to change anybody else's opinion on that. So that just trumps him. I love you guys. Joe, way to stand up to the man. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Thank you, Tom/Connor.
I appreciate it too, Joe. I needed that. Because normally I'm just playful with him. But
I can't do it.
He finally came out.
This just happens sometimes. It's just like, bring up the T-ball thing. Look, I played baseball, so I was in third grade, okay, Derek?
I was a great T-ball player.
I didn't wear my glasses, so I never had a hit. I couldn't see the ball until it crossed the plate, but I played.
Yeah, I think for the rest of the day, if you're going to talk about the Astros, you need to drop your baseball bona fides.
Oh, yeah.
So,
hey, what's on the back of your baseball?
Yeah, ball? As someone who played baseball in 7th and 8th grade, let me tell you. I'm not impressed by what I've seen from Kyle Tucker the last couple of years.
As someone who was statistician for my baseball team in 7th grade and undeservedly on the team, I could tell you that Kyle Tucker's stats are bad and should be better. And they've been bad for three straight postseasons.
Yeah.
Don has a thought on the Astros. Season is over. 713-780-3776. You're on Gallant and George. What's up?
Yeah, I was calling about this end of the season, man. I was very disappointed with the effort. I don't know why we can't win a home game.
That is crazy. Seven straight home losses.
Right. I mean, it's ridiculous. And there's nobody to point to upper management. I mean, the effort all the way around, it's just horrible. And I hate to say it, but Bregman's gone. He's not coming back.
Does feel that way. He did have a tweet after the game at about 7:12 p.m. for those who didn't see that just said, "Thank you, Houston." I had set up shop in the locker room after the game was done and was directly in front of him. And I asked him this question about, hey, I mean, that last moment where the fans are cheering. Hey, how did you feel if that's potentially the last time? Here's what he had to say on that. Do we have that, Sean?
Well, if it is, it was obviously it was a big moment in the game, but unfortunately we didn't come out on top. Well, if it is.
So after that moment, after I asked that question, I felt like the vibe of the interview changed and Bregman was looking down at the ground for a little bit and I was like, oh, damn, I felt bad. I think it was going through his head. You could hear him starting to answer it there, and then he paused, and he said, like, well, it didn't help us. And the rest of the interview, there was just it was a somber tone. He did chuckle at one point because he kept on getting asked the same question about his future. He was wearing an Astros hat.
Shout out to him.
Unlike Garrett Cole. I'm
so glad we don't have to deal with that.
I am too. I don't think he ever would have done that, though. I mean, Cole did not have that long of a relationship with this city. For Bregman, I mean, he has been here his entire career. So I wish him the best. He did play well, I think, in this postseason. I thought his at-bats, at least, were the most productive. One last call before we go to our first break. We've got another Don at 713-780-3776. Don, what's up?
How's it going on, y'all? Let's just be realistic when we're talking about the Astros this year. Everybody knows we do not deserve to be in the playoffs this year. So why are we mad? Why are we disappointed when we know we shouldn't have been there in the first place? Mm. I worked in 2022. I was at the World Series game, and the energy, the fans, everybody grunted. But the first game, playoff game, I was there this year, it was dead. Everybody knew. And just be honest with ourselves as Astros fans and as Houstonians, we did not belong. We did not need to be in the playoffs this year. And let's just admit it. Alex Bregman is gone. Jim Crane needs to open up his wallet and spend the money to build the future that he said he's going to continue to do. But I don't think he's going to do it. So, everybody, the change, the sports thing in Houston is about to change. It's going to be all about the season because I believe the Astros are done. That's all I got to say. Yeah, have a good day.
Appreciate it, Don.
Yeah, my only pushback to that, honestly, of like why like the expectations are still there is because of what the Astros have done in their past.
It's seven straight ALCS. That's why the expectations are there. I mean,
2020.
2020, right. They literally were only in the playoffs because they gave extra playoff seating because of a 60-game season, and they were one game away from the World Series. So, like, they've been there, done that. We've seen this Astros team beat down, out, and down bad and have struggle moments and then find a way to win. I mean, hell, even the year they won the World Series. I mean, look what they did against Seattle. You got a walk-off home run from Yordan Alvarez. You got an 18-inning game the next day or 2 days later. Like, you're grinding through this ALDS versus the Mariners, a series you could have easily lost just based off a couple small different things, a game of inches, like what happened in game one. That's why there's still a belief in this team, because it's still Jose Altuve. It's still Alex Bregman. It's still Yordan Alvarez. And that's why next year, the standard is, no matter what happens, they're going to win the AL West. Because, yeah, we have to lower our standard. You can't say they're auto back to the ALCS anymore. But until they lose the AL West, they're still the Kings of the West. Those are my expectations for 2025. That doesn't change at all.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We have some comments there that we'll get to on Twitch as well at ESPN 97.5. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. You can get to us on Twitter if you so choose. At Gallant says, at Joe George Radio, at Sean A. Mapes. We'll keep this going all show long. The Astros season is over. You want to vent about it, 713-780-3776. But a preface, you must tell us how long you played baseball.
Texters as well.
You must give us your statistics, okay? We need to know if you were a legend at the game. Golan and George, stay put.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Strike one, fly ball, right field. This one's deep. It's down the line. It's got a chance, and it is hit the foul pole. Gone, a home run. Tigers take the lead in the sixth. Parker Meadows delivers. 1-0.
One of the few guys I knew on the Detroit Tigers outside of Tark Skubal goes yard down the right field line off of Hunter Brown. And it's a shame because Brown had such an awesome outing. Brown was great. I did not see him being as dominant as he looked in moments in yesterday's game. He, of course, doesn't make it through the sixth inning after getting into a little bit of trouble after that. But Hunter Brown gave you more than you possibly could have expected. No matter how much of a Hunter Brown fan you are, against his hometown team. It was a really impressive performance. At the very least, you got that going forward. You got some really good feels about him.
Yeah, I mean, that's where it's, we know, like, when you look at 2025, of what this team can be, the strength of it looks like it's going to be the rotation. I know Fromber, not good in the playoffs again. But you have Fromber, you have Hunter Brown. Kikuchi said he wanted to be back yesterday after the game. That's huge. Like, I'm all in on Yusei Kikuchi. Then you have Blanco, Arrighetti, Luis Garcia, maybe Lance McCullers. Dana Brown today claims, now I don't believe this one because it's what he claimed all year this year with Garcia and McCullers. He claims Christian Javier could be available in July. Same thing with Jose Urquidy. Like, that's your strength right there. Like, that is the strength of this team. And it's what gives you some potential chips to move this season, too. Where, like, if you want to be creative and solve your problems with trades, probably starts with some guys in your rotation, honestly. Like, what you want to do.
Anyone in mind?
Well, at some point, well, this is not because of what happened in the playoffs or what happened early in the season. But at some point, if these guys are going to keep walking, maybe the Tampa Bay Rays model isn't terrible. If you're not going to re-sign Kyle Tucker and Framber Valdez after the 2025 season, I think you have to responsibly, as a general manager, at least listen. I think you have to listen. Blanco has no value because of his age. Arrighetti probably has minimal value. You would never trade Hunter Brown. So, like, I think you have to listen on Javier, and you have to listen on Framber if you're not going to re-sign him. It doesn't mean you have to trade these guys. But you should do your due diligence, and as Dana Brown said, anything is on the table, which means you should listen to anything that gets thrown your way to fix your multitude of issues with potentially one trade or two trades.
Okay. Speaking of those trades, we're telling people to tell us your high school or lower-level baseball stats.
Let's go.
Because the first caller of the day believes that people who didn't play T-ball shouldn't be allowed to weigh in on the game, even though that's what every American ever hasn't everyone played T-ball.
Yeah, I think everyone plays.
Doesn't T-ball. Everyone play T-ball a little bit and then play soccer a little bit, especially people who are listening to this? You do that at least at first. Super expert here, high school varsity, 15 years of men's league. Trade Fromber, trade Tucker. Window's still open. So, echoing something you've suggested before, how about Tucker?
I mean, it is. We got it on the Twitch here. I think it was from Coug Blaze. It's all over social media. People are done with Tucker.
Today is 100% the day to get off your fire or your trade to fire off your trade Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
Take.
100%. I mean, look,
because like who we were talking about in the morning show, like Bregman or Tucker. I think that for most of Houston, the answer flipped,
which is something. Because where were we in April and where were we in May while Bregman was off to a wretched start?
Yeah.
And where would we theoretically be after a Tucker trade if Bregman gets off to a slow start again? I mean, that's just how it goes.
I mean, this is overreaction the day after the season ends and Kyle Tucker just put in – I mean, it's – I don't want to really overstate this and say he just put in his third straight bad postseason – because it was two games, so all the other postseasons should have so much more weight. But, yeah, as a guy who struggled last year, and he just didn't respond, and I think now people are officially through with it.
Another text is from the 409. I played 6 years of professional baseball, drafted by the Baltimore Orioles. Damn, dog!
Well, okay, let's listen to this guy.
Is it when they stunk?
Sign Bregman, trade Pena, Fromber, Tucker, Chaz, and Myers. Call up Bryce Matthews to replace Pena. World Series 2025. This is a bloody one.
Youth movement. I wouldn't be surprised if Presley gets traded. I feel like he's the most likely.
Well, he's a free agent. Right?
Well, his option
did kick in.
It's a little confusing because on Spotrac and all these websites, there is listed as a $2 million buyout for his $14 million contract. But Chandler Rome of The Athletic responded to someone's tweet today talking about this $2 million buyout. He said, I don't know where this narrative came from. Ryan Presley doesn't have a buyout and does have a no-trade clause in his contract. His $14 million option vested after he made 45 appearances this season. So, sadly, Ryan Presley is a $14 million liability.
He's a $14 million eighth-inning guy who the fan base holds their breath when he comes
in. I think they can trade Presley.
I think you can find... And
Baltimore,
so the no-trade clause makes it hard. But like you said, there's enough good teams that also have wretched bullpens that like he could walk in and be the Baltimore closer today, and it would be way better than who they were trotting out because their season also ended.
And just a real quick go back to Kyle Tucker here. I know it was only two games. He's a career .229 hitter in the postseason. In 15 series he's played.
That's higher than I thought, and I think it used to be way higher, and it's been dragged down the last
3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, he stunk the year they won the World Series. He did have a clutch home run. He had some nice defensive plays, but it's been a while.
Yeah, and I always do defend like the Bagwell stuff where there is a little bit of like your offensive numbers are just going to be worse in the postseason because you're playing better pitchers and you're only facing good pitchers and the best bullpens, and that's all that you're getting. And we're getting, you know, in Bagwell's case, we're getting maybe five games of it a year. At a certain point, though, you do need to actually do this because you know who doesn't have trouble hitting the best pitchers in the postseason? Altuve does a pretty good job at it. You know, Yordan in the past has done a pretty good job at it. All of these guys have done a pretty good job at it. So at a certain point, you do actually need to produce. But like, you know, 220-something, to me, that's like not good. But I'm not like, oh my God, this guy sucks. It is mostly what he put together in most of 22, all of 23 in the last two games.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at since the World Series, or since the ALCS in 2022, his batting average in a playoff series has yet to be above 200.
Yeah, that's
bad. Was great at one point.
That's bad.
I mean, he hit .412 in the ALDS in 2020. He hit .375 in the wild card round in 2020. But
2020, empty stadiums.
But in 2022, since the ALCS, his batting average in playoff series is .154, .190, .143, .154, .000 in this one. So
that last one, did he need to do the point?
Yeah,
I felt necessary.
And the zero?
You could just give me he was 0-for-9 or whatever he was.
Yeah.
Felt more dramatic.
It was dramatic.
But look, I won't take it off the table. If you're not gonna pay him, you got a bunch of holes on this roster. Kyle Tucker fills three or four of them, maybe. Maybe not this year, but he can get you three players between prospects and big leaguers that can fix some issues now, some issues into the future. If you're not going to re-sign him, because money's a problem, well, that's $15 million projected off his arbitration salary right there that can go to Alex Bregman, and you can fill gaps with Tucker.
I'm not going with this Tucker trading talk. I'm not going with it. I understand why people think about it right now, but to what you're saying, you actually have to get someone good in return, and you're going to get a great prospect probably, but super prospects flame out all the time. With Kyle Tucker, you know you do have a five-tool player, and when he is healthy, which he was in the first half of this year, he looks really, really good. is it fair to say, because of limited sample sizes in the playoffs, that you should just throw him out? And I get that it's not limited really anymore. Maybe he is a Clayton Kershaw kind of player for you, but where he's really good in the regular season and he struggles in the postseason. But moving on from a guy like Tucker, it's just going to give you lottery tickets. It's not going to keep you where you are right now. And I think this is the big question. Like, do people really want to go back to where you were before? I don't. I will not pay attention to this team if they are a middling team that's not in playoff contention. I will not. I won't talk about them. I'll sit back. I'll let you guys do it. Yeah, I'm not going
to
do it.
I really do think there's a way to, like, this offseason, like, one of the past, I think the most logical path forward is to bet on your pitching staff, to spend a little bit of money in free agency to fill some gaps, but to potentially take a small step back to eventually move forward.
Do you think they're willing to do that? I don't, especially with what I heard from Dana Brown today. I just don't get the vibe that a team run by Jim Crane, given how bad 2011 through 2014 was, is willing to go back anywhere close to that. They're going to keep this thing going, I think, as long as they possibly can. And you heard a couple of quotes from Dana Brown today. Our rotation is going to be pretty stacked, and I think that's a pretty good place to be. Flexing about the Kikuchi trade. We took a lot of heat for that trade. He came in and he did an outstanding job. Continuing by saying, we want to make sure we get back deep into the postseason. We're not taking anything off the table in terms of what we'll do in terms of making trades or signing a free agent. That does not sound like a team that is even considering remotely anything other than whatever the next arbitration deal is with Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, and which is why when they say anything's on the table, I don't believe it. Because I don't think that they're going to become the number one payroll in baseball and just like spend. Part of me doesn't want them to. I don't know if I trust them to. Like, if they signed Paul Goldschmidt this offseason to a more reasonable contract than they gave Jose Abreu, would anyone feel good about it? Because of what this team's track record has been with Jim Crane since James Click was fired? Like, it's a splashy name, but, like, it doesn't make me feel good about the Astros that much, you know, that much better if he's at first base. Like, is he better than Singleton and Caratini? Sure. But, like, because Dana Brown's biggest success right now is winning in the margins. It's getting Caratini for 2 years, $18 million, and him being very good for you. It's Jason Hayward and Ben Gamble and Yusei Kikuchi and, like, these, like, mid-level guys. We haven't seen the splash move. It's only blown up in the Astros' face, honestly.
Yeah, and one thing with Dana Brown is that I do kind of trust his – or no, I do trust, as much as you can gain trust in, like, 1 year of this, in his eye for the AA, AAA talent, because the guys that have moved up fast in the Astros system since he's taken over, and the guys that have not just moved up in the minor leagues but have also – then moved up into the major leagues that had to fill gaps this year, like a Spencer Arrighetti, even like Bryce Matthews, Jake Bloss before he got traded, Loperfita, like all these guys are solid baseball players that I do think that they can kind of fill the gaps, and I do feel good about the idea of if you are to trade a Presley or whatever, trade Chaz McCormick or something, that you can. I trust Dana Brown to look at other teams' farm systems and have a slightly better chance at picking who's going to be the. You're not going to get the who's the Miles Straw for Yiner Diaz trade. Like, you're just not going to do that. But to have some sort of some better luck than the normal GM, your average GM, at taking a chance at some young guys.
From the 832, as someone who was a 10-year little league vet and a practice pro who shrunk in big time games, I think our Love only this. Option is to trade Kyle Tucker.
Who plays little league for 10 years? I have so many questions.
Oh,
Danny Almonte?
Yeah. Yeah, because it stops being little league at some point. Oh, maybe like,
I guess,
4 to 14, but yeah. That's not really little league.
They call it in Illinois, they call it pony.
Pony league.
Yeah,
I think
pony.
Like,
pony and Mustang.
When you're in high school. In middle school, but you're not on the high school middle school team?
Yeah, yeah. When it's like a city league or YMCA league. Yeah.
He is Joe, Sean behind the glass. I'm Paul. It's Gallant and George. The Astros season is over. You want to weigh in on it? You can at 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. We'll keep this on the table. Let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. You enter that deposit in, and guess what? They will double your deposit right away. But today is a special day at MyBookie. Free Boost Thursday, baby. You can bet without a sweat. If your bet hits, you win big. If it doesn't, forget about it. MyBookie.ag will refund your wager. I know. I'm still just shocked that they're doing this, but they are. Let's be honest. You're not watching baseball the rest of the year. You don't want to watch these other teams in the playoffs now that the Astros are out. So you want to bet on some Thursday night football, and you can't bet on whether or not Al Michaels will go on a rant about the refs and the pace of the game, but you can bet on the outcome of Falcons and Buccaneers. The Falcons are 2-point home favorites. The over-under for this game is 43.5. I like the way the Bucs offense has been playing. I feel like the Falcons offense has a lot of potential in it. I think I'm going to hit the over for this game instead of picking it because Thursdays are always weird. I'm hoping we finally get a game that makes Al Michaels happy. It's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Well, Riley Green will come up with a chance to tie the game and maybe more. And that one gets away. Here comes Carpenter. He will score. And the game is tied at 2 as Vierling moves to second.
Oh, he tried backhanding that one there. And understand, when you throw an off-speed pitch, it's going to break one way and land another. Just did not get in front of that ball.
That graphic wipe sound effect was the sound that the ball made when it hit home plate and went into outer space. That was one of the, looks like luck is not on the Astros' side today moments. I've never seen a ball in the dirt hit the screen above the backstop in my life.
That's
the first time I've ever seen that.
Yep. Yeah, that was like one of the most deflating things I've ever experienced, like sitting kind of in the crowd. Because I was sitting in the stands because, you know, we didn't get seats. And so, like, it's fun. It's exciting. The crowd's loud. But you kind of, like, I don't know, do you feel like the kind of felt like the air got sucked out of the stadium a little bit when Presley came in?
For sure. And then it was even more gone. It was a vacuum once the double happened. I was stunned that there were three runs that scored on the play. I remember thinking to myself, wait, that was – did I see that right? Did I see – I don't know why I lost track of how many guys were on the base paths, but I thought to myself, wait a second, three guys crossed the plate. Oh, damn, are they down 5-2? I thought Josh Hader was going to clean this up. There were two outs, by the way.
I know.
There were two outs. He just needed one. Walk, double to some guy named Ibanez, who we're going to remember forever, I guess.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, I mean, like, and that's what's – they should have won. You have Ryan Presley on the mound with the lead.
They shouldn't have put Ryan Presley in there.
I wonder if Taylor Scott was healthy, if it would have been – him coming in instead of Abreu in the sixth.
I would have rather had Josh Hader come in for the eighth ninth. Just go two innings, you know? Sorry.
And if you want to blame Joe Espada for anything, I think the biggest question, you know, we'll never know the answer to. It is revisionist history a little bit, though, is if Josh Hader would not have pitched the day before, would he have been able to go the eighth and ninth inning?
Good question.
Would he have been fresher in this game? Like, was it necessary to pitch Josh Hader in game one when you could have maybe done something differently in game two? It's not AJ Hinch in 2019 level of guilty, but it does raise questions about the process and the decision-making of Joe Espada.
That's what also crossed my mind when when Hader came in, or not. That's actually giving myself too credit. It was after the fact. It was 100% second guessing. Where you and maybe some rationalization of like, did pitching him in game one for not no reason, because you are trying to keep it a 3-run game, but basically no reason. Did that have some effect on his effectiveness in yesterday's game? Also, though, I feel like that would more come to bear the later he goes, not first batter walk, second batter double. That's where I feel like that argument falls a little bit flat. But that's just me.
It's never a great vibe when you know you're throwing a guy that much back-to-back games. And if we are going to second guess a spot of managing things, that is one of them to do it. And then using Presley at all, I get that you're supposed to, and that you have all this faith in what he's done in the past. And I know the Astros have to bring up the back of the effing baseball card, but I got a bad feeling when Presley in the eighth inning had his ridiculous montage to come in. When they start playing, "You can run on for a long time," and everyone's holding up the cell phones with the flashing lights. It's the eighth inning, and he is not this guy this year.
If he's back, it's got to go. It's got to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly, you're going to do that in the sixth inning with him now?
Exactly.
And the Hader one can only be used in safe situations.
Hader,
Fireman.
Right?
I don't need Fireman, you know. Looks really cool. The graphics are awesome when it's, you know, it's on fire while he's warming up. That's cool, but can't use it. Can't use it when it's not a safe situation.
I couldn't.
Demoted.
I couldn't find the Haterade, by the way. And I'm okay with not having spent $38 on the Haterade drink at Minute Maid Park.
I don't blame you.
Air conditioning was terrible yesterday. There's a lot of things. If I were leaving a Yelp review, yesterday would have gotten a 1 out of 5.
Did you see... It's still there. I was checking to make sure that this wasn't a fake, you know, Instagram post.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Did you see what was on Instagram last night on a certain story?
No.
One Machete.
No.
Put up just a bunch of emojis. It was the big eye emojis. It was two of those. And then the thinking man. And then two more big eye emojis.
Oh, my God.
This is Maldonado?
Marcy Maldonado. Oh, God. Little trash talk.
The thinking is where he lost.
He's like,
come on.
I would have caught that ball that bounced into the ceiling almost.
To be fair, he might have.
Yeah.
That was horribly played.
Did Yiner get any hits? Because he can do that too. He can not get any hits. And
did Yiner did have a hit in that produced a run in game one. So
Yes.
But it was barely a hit for what it's worth. Maldi could have done that. Maldi could have weakly grounded it through the infield. Now, he might have gotten thrown out at first base still, but he could have gotten it out of the infield.
I will say, when you look at the offseason plans and you go, okay, like, what are the Astros' strategies here? If there's one in which you acquire a better catcher of the baseball and you teach Yiner how to actually play first base, I'm very pro that this offseason, if he can learn it.
If you're keeping budget in mind, that's probably the best way to solve first base is to move Yiner to first base, get a backup catcher.
Yeah.
Or get, you know, move up Cesar Salazar, bring back Caratini.
So, yeah, I mean, Caratini's on a contract, so Caratini and Salazar are your catchers and Yiner's your first baseman. Is it perfect? It depends. It's not. It's probably not.
No. To answer your question, it's not perfect.
It really depends on, like, how much confidence you have in, like, Yiner's ability to learn first base.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it's that hard. As somebody who never played baseball above ninth grade.
If you had a shortstop that could get the ball consistently into the first baseman's glove instead of bouncing everything and having errors all the time, I would say I'd feel more confident. He's just a guy.
That's the thing. We don't need Keith Hernandez there at first base, but to play, like, average first base defense.
You need it with Pena there at shortstop.
Yeah.
Text. We're asking for people's baseball resumes before they text in. This is... I'm reading this mainly because of how vicious it is. 12-year vet here. 5-time Lamarck Little League All-Star. I don't have my high school stats because I'm not a pathetic loser like Jeremy Branham. Oh!
Ouch. What a shot.
Honestly.
Also, glancing blow at you.
I keep my high school statistics, sir.
Well, you're also the statistician. So.
That's true.
Your nose is in that book.
Noted. I think they should look at trading Fromber and Tuck.
That is going to be, I don't think that's going to waver from fans.
I feel like that will be the conversation that we have after Alex Bregman's future the most this offseason. Should the Astros do this?
What about this? Trade this guy. Trade that guy. I think Tucker especially is catching it just because those two bad games where Fromber only had one bad outing in the playoffs. I mean, Tucker definitely gets you more on the open market, if that matters to you. But I don't know. That's also throwing a lot on Hunter Brown. Trading Fromber, you're showing a lot of faith in Hunter Brown.
Mm-hmm. And look, he does deserve some faith going forward, but I'm not quite ready for
going into the year number one starter, Hunter Brown.
He's my number one guy. I agree.
I'll keep Fromber for one more year.
Let's talk about the future of the Astros. The biggest question, is Alex Bregman going to be back next year? He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.